Well, hey friends, welcome to my mini series where I'm teaching all about how to maintain, how to get working, how to flourish in your relationship with Father God. Most of you watching this, you have a relationship, but I've noticed a lot of Christians have a relationship they struggle with, a dysfunctional relationship. And a lot of Christians don't know how to, frankly, enjoy their Christian life and spend time with God without feeling like they're simply spinning plates or going through a bunch of religious disciplines and practices that don't bring them any joy. So I am going to this week trying to share some of the principles I use to maintain and flourish in my relationship with God. And today I'm going to talk about how to conquer sin. Big one, but it's actually easier than you think most of the time. I'm giving some real keys that will help you permanently conquer sin in your life and live a sin-free life. Well, maybe. Come on, live the life God wants you to live. Two quick housekeeping things. As always, I'll say this real quick. If you don't know my ministry yet, check out the links below. I'm a Brit, French person, American, live in New England, have a home here in France. Love Jesus. Come to this YouTube channel. We have over 1 million subscribers now. Teaching every day, lead churches, lots of things going on. Check out my website and all the links below for more about who I am and what I do. Secondly, please do consider becoming a partner to this ministry. Partners are those who help us take this teaching and put it in front of people who have never or probably would never otherwise hear teaching like this. And this is life-changing stuff. So I'd love to have you as part of that partner group. Link below if you're interested in becoming a partner. Boom. So let's talk about this. Let's just talk about Christianity for a second. The biggest problem, in a sense, mankind has ever had is sin. We fell into sin and we were separated from God. Okay, we all know that. We know as Christians, we know that. We know the story of the fall. We know the story of the law and its inability to bring us back into relationship with Father God. We know about the Father sending His Son. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and if anybody would believe in Him, they wouldn't perish, but they'd have everlasting life. So we know in a sense that Jesus has came and fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. He's paid the debt that stood between God and ourselves. And in Christ, it's like the sin barrier has been removed and we come back to God. I'm not being cute. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. The challenge for most of us as Christians is we accept Jesus. We receive the forgiveness of our sins. We usually feel and experience relief, emotional blessing. How marvelous, how wonderful, how marvelous that my song shall ever be. My Savior died for me. And yet what happens to most of us is sooner or later we end up finding that we still have a sin problem, that we still sin, that we are still tempted, that we still are selfish, lustful, greedy, prideful, argumentative, and on and on and on we can go, but that we still sin at some level. And we usually end up in a place, like living in a Romans 7 place, I call it, where we know God's real, and we actually know we're born again. We know we're in relationship with Him. We know that we've tasted of His forgiveness, His glory and grace. And yet at the same time, this contrasting reality comes into our lives where we actually know, in a way, it's worse because we know how awful sin is and we feel the shame of sin sometimes much more as a Christian as we did before we were ever, you know, we ever came to Christ. And we feel His holiness and righteousness when we're with Him, when we're in His presence, and we feel our lack of holiness and righteousness. And at a practical level, a Christian can often be much more miserable than a non-Christian because of that battle between us. And I think anybody who is truly honest would acknowledge the tension I have put before you. Now, how do we deal with that tension real quick? Again, religion always has its ways, but it's the same old way. Some people just simply brush it under the carpet and harden their hearts. And in a way, the danger is you can get used to anything. If you move into a pigsty today, if you imagine somebody you know, brought 20 pigs to live in your home and pig food and pig, and go on and on here. Like, it would stink a pig. If you keep living in your home, after a while, can I tell you, you won't even smell it. You'll just get used to it. It's like your sense of smell. Your reticular activation system will acclimatize to that smell, and you won't even smell it. You may go to somebody else's house who has a dog or a cat, and you'll be like, ooh, how could they live with the smell? Because you get used to things. And in the same way, when we sin, the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And what happens to so many of us is when we sin, Holy Spirit comes. If we don't react and respond in repentance, we harden our heart. And so often people end up in a situation where there's ongoing sin in their life, and they're no longer even bothered by it because they've hardened their heart to it. It doesn't mean God's okay with it. It means they're not aware of how little God is okay with it because of their own personal hardened heart. Selah. Okay. Secondly, how do we deal with sin? Sometimes we just muddle along, try our best, and sort of say, well, yeah, when Jesus returns, when Jesus comes or Jesus calls, then that sin problem will be dealt with. And of course, in a global sense, that's true, but it's not how he wants you to live now. Thirdly, we deal with it by being religious, by being pretentious, by putting on kind of outer garments, trying to give the appearance to others that we're holier than we are. But my subject matter this week, my teaching, is about what really happens when you are alone with God. And it doesn't matter who you pretend to be at church or when you're around others, but you know, when you are alone, David said, search my heart and know me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the path everlasting. So when you're alone with God, you could fool some of the people all the time. You can't fool the Lord any other time. So that's never going to work. Again, I could go on and on. We've tried to deal with the sin problem by giving people self-discipline, rigid disciplines. Literally, people have done all, if I'll read my Bible more, if I fast more, if I pray more. In the Middle Ages, you get monks. Martin Luther literally had a whip and would whip his own back. And it's like, if I cause myself enough pain, I'll drive that sin roach out of me. On and on and on we go with all this religiosity. Can I tell you, it doesn't stop it. It won't produce a hoop of beans. Paul talks about this in Colossians. When he talks about people going back to the law, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. And Paul says these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their external disciplines, but they have no validity, no power in the changing of a man's heart. Paul goes on, he says that in Galatians, the only thing that counts is a new creation. So I want to tell you how to get rid of sin without doing all of those goofy, silly things which do not work. And I want to give you a really simple theology on this and then teach you the practical application of that in your life. Okay, it's really simple and I can probably do it in 5 minutes. It goes like this. Number one, you need to realize that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus took your sins, I mean the misdeeds, the debt, if you will, the charges you accumulated through your sin. He took your sins past, present, and future, and doesn't give you permission to sin again, but he's paid the price for everything you have done, are doing, stop, and will ever do. Okay. We've understood that as evangelicals. I think what we've done a poor job of understanding is the next step. Jesus didn't simply take upon him on the cross the sins of the world. He took upon him on the cross sin. That is the very nature, the root cause and nature of sin. He took your, what the Bible calls your old man, your sinful nature, that old you. The problem really isn't the deeds that one does, that God has, you know, those are sins, S-I-N-S. But the problem is sin. The problem is that identity, that fallen person. We'll call him the old man. The Bible says Jesus took the old man and nailed him to the cross when he was nailed to the cross. And from God's perspective, this is not like voodoo metaphysics and fooey theology. God looks at you and says, your old man is dead. He is dead. That sinful nature is dead. And in a way, when we try to stop sinning through behavior modification, we're actually denying the work of the cross. So God looks at you and says, your sinful man is dead. Step number one. Step number two, the Lord says, you know, or maybe we said, Lord, well, if my sinful nature is dead, why do I keep sinning? Is there work I need to do? The Lord says, yes, there is. He says you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to learn to think in the new nature you have. The Lord says, your sinful nature is dead. You've been raised in newness of life. You are a new creation. God looks at you and says, you are not a sinner. You are a new creation. But he says the work you must do is to put on the new creation. Paul says in Ephesians 4:23, put on the new man, which is created after him in righteousness and true holiness by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the world around you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your life is transformed to the measure your mind is renewed. And our job is to not try to become a new person through our own efforts, but rather to change our thinking, our language. As I said in an earlier video, it's to acknowledge what's already happened and to learn to walk in and to learn to walk out that new creation. Okay. Step number three, how do we practically do this? Again, the Bible, all the way through the New Testament, you'll see verses like this. I'll give you a few, I'll quote a few, but here's the import of all of them. These verses say that we take the scriptures, the written word of God, and we sanctify. You've been declared righteous, but we sanctify, we step into holiness through these great and precious promises. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we become partakers of God's nature and we escape the corruption in the world through evil desires. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, having these promises, let us sanctify ourselves. Ephesians 5, round about verse 20, speaks about the bride needs to be washed with the washing of water by the word that he might sanctify and cleanse her through the word of God. Yeah. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So sanctification comes not by us trying to be sanctified. Sanctification comes by us engaging with who God says we are, by us reading it, by us saying, God, you said this, I don't feel it, I don't smell it, I don't look it in the mirror, but you said this, this is truth, and the truth, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth, Jesus said in that great prayer in John 17:17. So you engage with the promises of the word of God, and it changes how you live. Come on. Let me give you two last practical things which really help with this. What we, I think, need to do to build a relationship with God is we actually need the practice, like the daily discipline of coming daily to those verses, no matter how many times you've done it. I've done this most days of my life for many years now, and yet these verses never lose the power, the vitality, the strength, and the joy. In fact, the opposite is true. They become more and more wonderful. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. So what we need to learn to do is come to those verses that describe who we are, that describe we've been, past tense, set free from sin. Having been set free from sin, you became a slave of righteousness. Sin will not have dominion over you. Romans 6:14. You've got to come to those as a daily discipline. Just touch base with them and say, Lord, this is true. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is my reality. I'm going to live this way today. Boom. The very last practical thing as well, because we are all practical people, is, you see, what Satan tries to do with all of us is to create habit loops in our life where we're in a place of weakness, maybe, or physical need or whatever, and he suggests something to us, and we don't always see those suggestions coming. Like, let me give you an example. Right now, I'm recording this video at lunchtime. It's nearly 1 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that. And I haven't eaten anything. I've been fasting all morning, as I usually do. I've had black coffee all morning. And right now, I'm ready for lunch. Now, I've already taken a good, strong decision about what I'm going to have for lunch, protein, just eating protein today and whatever. But if I were to begin to consider eating something else, pizza, and something else, and I could easily go down those roads. And my point is, learn about you. But most of us, this is a real practical thing that will help you in your relationship with God. For most of us, the sins we fall into are the same sins again and again and again. It's not like every day you commit some brand new sin. The situation might be different. The temptation might be dressed differently. The person might be different. The food might be different, whatever we're talking about here. But it's usually the same few sins people fall into. And my point is, learn to zoom out, learn to recognize what are the situations that I get into where I'm tired, where I'm weak, where I'm off my guard, and put your guard back up. Learn to ask God for wisdom about how to navigate those things. Now again, the wisdom is not about, okay, if I can get enough wisdom and learn how to hack my life, I won't sin. No, but learn what those places are. Learn to engage, learn to invite your pre-existing relationship with the Lord into those parts of your life, and you can get to a place. I began this teaching saying rather cheekily, you can live a sin-free life. I believe you can live a sin-free life. I don't think I live a sin-free life, but I think I could live a sin-free life. And my point is, I think you're accepted because you're in Christ Jesus, but I think you want to be pursuing holiness. I think you want to be slaying giants. David said, I chased and pursued my enemies until I utterly destroyed them. And am I suggesting to you that if you do what you've seen in this video, you'll never sin another day in your life? Well, I think it's possible. You probably won't. But my point is, learn. Don't sit there going around the mountain getting trapped by the same thing. Grow in God. Learn to get victory. Learn to move forward in the areas of your life. Will you fail in the future? I don't want to be negative and say yes you will, but it's probable you probably will. But let that be a blimp that breaks your heart when you run to Jesus and ask Him to cleanse and sanctify you. Don't let that be your normal sila. Boom. Thanks for watching, guys. Go back over this video. There's a lot of important truths that I have laid down in this video that will bless and transform your life if you engage with them. Again, please do check out the links below. Consider signing up for our email newsletter and becoming a partner to this ministry, because people need to hear what you just heard. They really do. Thanks for watching, and I'm back tomorrow with another video, and I'll put the series out as a one entire teaching as well. God bless you.